What's up, guys? It's Josh Martinez, winner of Big Brother Season 19 and contestant on MTV's The Challenge. Just wanted to give a huge shout out to my boy Bryce. Love hearing the podcast. He's been killing it and crushing it. So please check it out and show him some love. I'm extremely, extremely happy to be able to consider him a friend and just see all the success. So keep fucking crushing it. Keep being a star, bud. And keep fucking being awesome. Much love, guys. Enjoy the podcast. Take care.
It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.
Hello, hello, and hola. Welcome to this week's episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I'm so excited for this week's episode because it was supposed to be one thing, and then it turned into another thing. And listen, that's just how we roll here on the Purple Pants Podcast. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope that you had a great weekend since the last time that we've had an entanglement. But listen, shout out to my Purple Pants posse. Shout out to all of the new listeners. Make sure you guys subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify Podcasting. Make sure you guys write a review. Give your baby boy some 5-star ratings. You know I appreciate it. But yes, what's going on, your baby boy? You know, busy as a quarantine bee. But listen, I haven't been as hectic this week, and I've really been trying to, you know, give myself compassion and, you know, just be the best me that I can be. You know, it's hard sometimes, but we gotta give ourselves compassion. I'm super excited for this week's episode because I had one thing planned, like I was saying before, and then I recorded it and I'm like, well, I guess it's gonna turn into something else. And, you know, here at this podcast, we get into entanglements. And so we just gotta let it rock out how it's gonna rock out. So let me give you the rundown of this week's episode. We've got our church announcements, and on the menu this week, I welcome to the podcast Robert. Okay, yes, I have Robert on the menu this week. I was so excited because, listen, about a year ago when I started this podcast, one of my main subjects was Love After Lockup, and they've started a new season, season 3. So I asked Rob if he would watch it and come on and break down the episode with me, and he absolutely wanted to, so I was so excited. So that's really what this week's episode is all about. It's me and Rob breaking down the episode of Love After Lockup. So if you haven't heard Love After Lockup or watched it before, it's on WeTV, comes on Friday nights, 9 o'clock. They're on demand, so make sure you check up on it. And then, you know, I got the freak of the week, and that's this week's episode. So listen, without further ado, let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. Oh, welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Oh, welcome to church.
So the church announcements for this week are rather short and simple. It's only one. I just want to make sure that you guys have heard, listened, or watched the roundtable that I participated in last Wednesday. Whose tribe is it anyway? Talking about the LGBTQ representation and intersectionality on Survivor. And I was one of the panelists along with Zeke, Missy, Lyrissa, Vince, myself, and the moderator, Nicole Simmons. It was a great experience. I learned so much from that experience. I also have to say, one of the most powerful things that I took away from that panel was hearing Vince from season 39 talk. What was so powerful for me hearing Vince talk was that it literally, I felt like it was myself talking. And that was the first time I've ever heard somebody say everything that I've been feeling, that I've wanted to say, and that could understand the experience that I have being an openly person of color that's gay on the show. It just really blew my mind, and I was so happy to lend my voice and to, again, speak in my truth. So if you've not heard Whose Tribe Is It Anyway, talking about the LGBTQ community and intersectionality in Survivor, make sure you go to Jatia's YouTube page where you can watch it. And you can also go to Rob Has a Podcast. He actually posted it as a podcast. It's really, really powerful, and I would love to hear feedback from it.
It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a menu. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
All right, so we're keeping the menu rolling, and I am so excited for a multitude of reasons. You know, I feel like I always say that. I don't know if y'all know, but you know, Love After Lockup came back on. And it's really a sentimental subject for me because I feel like when I started this podcast almost a year ago, Love After Lockup was one of the first shows that I really talked about. So with the third season of Love After Lockup airing, I figured like, who can I get to talk about Love After Lockup with? And I said, I don't know. So then, you know, I just made a little text message call, you know, sent a little voice audio, and I said, Robert, will you watch Love After Lockup with me? And Robert was like, I got to check with Nicole, but okay.
No. I would love to. I just have to check the time on with Nicole.
So, yes. So, Robert, welcome. Oh, my God. Your second time to the Purple Pants podcast.
Yes. Okay. I'm so excited. I was so happy when you called me. I'm so happy to talk about Love After Lockup. And I love that I was even in the mix to talk about Love After Lockup with you, Bryce.
Yes. And what's crazy is, like, I don't know why I love this show. I mean, I think because it just has crazy people. But I feel like growing up all throughout my life, I've had, like, close family members to, like, be incarcerated for long periods of time. So I don't know if maybe that's, like, my weird connection with Love After Lockup, or if maybe I was, like, slated to be on this season of Love After Lockup and, you know, I just didn't move forward with it. But I think that it, I don't know, it's a great show. So
Yeah. I had never seen it before. I really loved what I got to watch. I mean, basically after watching it, this is the same exact show as 90 Day Fiancé.
I mean, essentially, yes.
Yeah. It's the same
thing. Except, you know, your 90 Day Fiancé is not abroad, but in a jail.
Yes.
You know, it's like, but it, again, like the 90 Day Fiancé, like the 90 Day Fiancé franchise, the Love After Lockup franchise, they just, it's the same stories, just
same
different
thing.
People.
It's the same thing. It's different couples. It's formatted exactly the same way. It has all the same, like, disapproving friends and relatives. Like, every story is somebody just explaining what's going on to another person in their life. That's like, are you sure about this? Did you think this through?
What I love about Love After Lockup is that, like, everybody gets a confessional. Like, you know, they're like random, like, coworker. They'll pull them aside and he'll get a confessional. But I think it's great. I also think if I was on this season, it would have been a lot more popping. But, you know, I'm not putting my life out there like that. And I don't think I have Love After Lockup. So
now, Bryce, this is on the first episode that I saw. So these were all heterosexual couples that I saw. Do they ever have gay couples on Love After Lockup?
Never, ever have they had a gay couple on, under three seasons. Which is why I think it's so weird. When I was talking about this show last season, and I said I had a pen pal, like a friend that went away, and we still keep in contact. Like, you know, I straight got a little email like, hey, I don't work for Love After Lockup, but I work for the production company that works for them. And if you and your friend Danny are interested, like, send me an email and I'll definitely get it over to them. So, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Bryce, do they get any money for appearing on the show or anything like that?
I do believe they get money for being on the show because, you know, from last season, you know, there's Lacey and Shane, who I've become friends with.
Yes.
And we don't necessarily, like, talk about money, but I can see the improvement of their lifestyle. So I'm going to go ahead and just say, like, you know, it is a paid show.
Yes.
And a paid stipend. And, oh my God, about this all ST. So I don't know, like, so I had a couple of pen pals over, like, the last couple of years. And
yes.
So for whatever reason, this show, like, it intrigued me. Like, I'm like, I want a pen pal. Like, even after watching this episode, I was like, I think I want a new prison pen pal. And that was, like, the same, like, kind of sort of, like, initiative I had the last time I was writing a random person, because I was just like, I want to, like, you know, do reporting for the Purple Pants podcast. And so, not Danny, but I had, like, wrote another prisoner named Donnie. Okay, but Danny's name is like, no, I know Danny's name isn't like Danny.
Did you make a typo in the first letter? And like, well, I don't want to waste it.
And so his name was Donnie. And we wrote back and forth, and we even talked on the phone. And it was funny because I asked him when we were on the phone, I said, have you ever heard of the show Love After Lockup? And he was like, yes. And he was like, would you be on it with me? He was like, they posted here in the prison, and they say that you get paid. So I was like, oh, oh my God. So, but I was
they
like,
advertised in the
they
prison.
Advertised.
Bryce, can I ask you about this? About the, how do you end up meeting the people that you were going to write to?
So what we not going to do right now, Robert, first of all, no. I don't just randomly write people. So one, Danny was, we had an entanglement. Mm-hmm. And then he went away. And then I stayed in contact with him.
Okay.
So, but then with Donnie, so on the last season of Love After Lockup, they were like, you know, writeaprisoner.com. So I just am curious.
Writeaprisoner.com. I'm going to get on there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I, you know, late at night, little bored, couldn't sleep. And so I just was like scrolling. I was like, oh, okay, some of these people look okay. So then I just came across one, the one person that I came across. Now, mind you, so anybody listening that wants like a pen pal and like, you know, but here's a little tip that I have for you, because, you know, my social worker skills came into play here, because a lot of the times a lot of our dads will be incarcerated. So there's like a national database that you can go into to get people's information. So on like writeaprisoner.com, they want you to like buy a membership. They tell you the person's name and where they're located. So like, why would I pay $5.99 to be a member of this website when I know where he's at and I know his name? So I'll just go online and look them up and then write them.
Mm-hmm. But you beat the system.
I beat the system. And for like Donnie's case, there's a app called JPay. So a lot through like federal and state prisons, you can like send money that way. And also some of the jails, like they have some jails are like further along in technology than others. Some of them, you can just write emails to them on the app and they'll write back on the app. And some of the jails even have like video calls that you can like video call with them. So I just wrote Donnie a little letter. Then he wrote back. We wrote back and forth like maybe 4 or 5 times, and like we video chatted once, because I was just at this point I was like invested, like not so much like I'm trying to find love, just interests me. Like I was just like, oh, this is kind of like fun. Not fun in the sense of like I'm like toying with somebody's emotions, but like just like, I don't know, I thought it was interesting. So like we video chatted like a couple of times, and then I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to go forward with this. Cause then Donnie was like, I get out in 2021. And so maybe like, you know, I wouldn't mind coming to Philadelphia. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going away for like 6 years to an undisclosed place.
Oh.
So I'm going to just talk to you later. But so for me, it's interesting. Cause I'm a people person. I just like to talk to people. So it's interesting to me. And this is like, again, kind of like scratching my curiosity a little bit. Like I might have to look on writeaprisoner.com just to like, I don't know. But that's just me. Find some new people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe get somebody to do the intro on my podcast for me.
Hey, this is Donnie. And just wanted to say, I'm going to be down in Philadelphia soon. So it's a Purple Pants podcast.
Robert, I'm not doing this with you.
Do you know, can they listen to a podcast? Anybody listen to podcasts in a jail?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So because they could do a lot in prison, because, you know, a lot of the issues is getting contraband.
Yeah.
Kind of goes back to 60 days in. They have cell phones. You know, they're not supposed to have them, but they have cell phones. So, yes, they can listen to podcasts. They can do a lot of stuff in jail and in prison. So a lot of different things go on. Like, for instance, like one of the people on this season, I believe it was Maurice and Jessica.
Yeah.
Jessica said she met Maurice on plentyoffish.com.
Yeah.
How the hell is he on plentyoffish.com and he's in jail for 7 years, Jessica?
I don't know.
And she's like, even in the show, she was like, you know, he was everything I was looking for. He was tall, black, and handsome. And then I realized after all of his photos, is he in jail? Bitch, yes.
Yes, yes.
If the prison pose did not give it away, I don't know. Do you know what the prison pose is, Rob?
I don't think so.
The prison pose is like, you ever see anybody that, like, if it's a group of people, like, more than two, and one of them kind of, like, squats down and gives you, like, the peace sign, like, that's, like, a signature prison pose.
Okay. Why?
I mean, I don't know. That's just like, it, like I'm okay. When I go on writerprisoner.com after this, I'm gonna screenshot you.
I'm on there already. I'm on there. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, Rob.
I don't like the logo at writerprisoner.com. It looks like AOL logo.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the website, I'm pretty sure, was built when AOL was
website
built,
is not great.
That, yes, that's what it looks like. But yeah, it's super easy. Like, and they just post people's photos and information. So
how do they pick who's on the front page? Is it
I think it's like you can pay to be featured.
Oh.
Because essentially, because first of all, the site is so old and outdated that, like, nobody's scrolling through, like, 1,100. Like, they just, like, okay, like, that's how I met Don Don. I was like, oh, okay, he's kind of cute. Let me just send a little email. Mm-hmm. So, I was asking him, because this is what I was more interested in when I was talking to Don Don. I'm like, at first when we started, like, you know, because we only probably had, like, 7 conversations. Like, the first 3 conversations, she was like, no. And mind you, he's from Kentucky. And he was like, no, you're the only person I'm writing. And, like, you know, I'm really interested in getting to know you. I'm like, bitch, we only talked for three times. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, he was saying, like, how, like he was featured at a lot of people. Like, he maybe got, like, 40 emails that day. And I was like,
he was popular.
Right. I'm like, so what made you respond to me? He's like, I just like the name Bryce. I was like, oh, okay.
Is that how Don Don talked?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like, I have a, when we hang up, I'm going to send you a video.
Nice. This is so anyway, interesting.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, I've always had, and I don't want to use the term fascination, but, like, you know, my oldest brother spent 10 years in federal prison, and like state penitentiary. My mom's brother spent like 12 years in federal prison. So, like, a lot of my childhood, I remember going to, like, these facilities. And so, like, I don't know. I just was something that I always was, like, curious about. Mm-hmm. I find it. And then me as a social worker, you know, there are plenty of times that I had to, like, go to jails to, like, supervise visits. And maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But, you know, sometimes I would volunteer because people would not want to go. Yeah. I would just like, it's just a, it's, well, one, first of all, random, but prison obviously is like the new slavery. Like, first of all, there should be none of these companies like Amazon, Walmart, they should not be making all of this money off of like prisoner work. But that's just another topic mm-hmm. and another topic. But it just is just so interesting to me. And I would go and like we'd be in these parenting visiting like things, and I'd just be sitting there and like I would be talking to the prisoners as they would be waiting. Like, I don't know. It's just something that for me is just I don't want to go say that I love it, but I definitely think it's a subculture that does not get talked about enough. And I always say this when I talk about Love After Lockup. There's a show called like Raw Lockup that comes on MSNBC, and it's on Netflix as well too.
Yeah.
And that's always good. My favorite episodes are the ones that they like kind of like sort of highlight the prison relationships. Now I be loving that.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, so
used to be once upon a time, like on MSNBC, that would be like all weekend. That like after right. like 2 o'clock, it would just be then for the rest of the day.
Yes,
all that's Saturday.
Saturdays and Sundays, Rob, that's still a thing. But I don't get into it as much anymore because like they don't make new episodes, and I've practically seen all the episodes. But it's just it's just a little interesting, and I'm sure some of my Purple Pants posse finds it interesting as well too. So let's get into this new season 3 of Love After Lockup.
Yes.
They've introduced us to 5 new couples, and I will preference this by saying out of the 5 new couples, there wasn't no zaddies. I mean, there was maybe no zaddies. There was maybe one that I was like, oh, okay. But on the previews for the whole season, there is definitely a zaddy, and I can't wait to figure out who or what his story is, because he looked crazy. And yeah, like, you know, I'm just trying to find him on.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Okay. The light skinned guy.
The cast open.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think I don't think they show the cast, all of the cast, until they introduce them, because you know they all about their promotion. But there were five couples that we got introduced to this week, and the first couple that we met was Scott and Lindsay.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Scott was a 51-year-old Caucasian male. Okay. He was a business owner. And Lindsay was 27 years old, and she was in jail for possibly selling methamphetamines and firearms.
Yes. And she ultimately got pulled over by the police. I think she was going 140 miles an hour in the car.
Another interesting thing.
And they found all her meth.
And another interesting thing about Lindsay is her jail makeup is on point, okay? She got the eyeshadow and the lip popping, okay?
Yes.
Very, very much CVS, Walmart, like, you know, that type of makeup. So what's interesting about Scott is that he's 51. He obviously is.
Tell me, what is interesting about Scott?
Well, a lot is that, like, he's 51. He's from upstate New York. He's moved to Mississippi.
Yes.
Because for when Lindsay's release, he wants to be there. And it looks like I don't know. He didn't necessarily say it. He could just be renting it. But he has this house that he brought this designer in to base. Okay. He brought a designer in. Okay.
Yes.
Get this, Purple Pants Posse. Come in close. Okay. Because get this. Because I personally can't get anybody to, you know, text me back consistently. But this girl, Lindsay, then found Scott, okay? Scott then moved from upstate New York to Mississippi, okay? To a house that's unfurnished. And Lindsay is sending him clippings from magazines of different rooms and how she likes them. And Scott has them taped up on the wall and is showing the design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what the hell am I doing wrong in life, Rob? Okay. Do I need to go to jail?
Hold on. Are you saying that Scott is your dream catch? That you, Scott was like, Bryce, I got a place. Move in. Send me all the pictures of the drapes that you want. I'll have it all set up when you get here.
Bitch, I will be sending him my Pinterest vision board immediately, okay? So, I mean, no, Scott is not my ideal person, but I'm just saying, like, how the hell Lindsay in jail and catching this? But, so, that's interesting.
Can I give you my theory on the interior decorator?
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Scott, because you need to have like a network of like disapproving friends and family. Scott has nobody. Scott, they needed somebody to walk in and say, wait, okay, so you're 51 and she's 27 and you've never met her and she's getting out of jail. Okay, they needed somebody to have that reaction.
I probably so. But so on every season, I always feel like there are some people that are like really, really in love. And I don't like, I obviously she's 27, he 51. So I can't necessarily say whether or not, but I didn't get like gold digger vibes from Lindsay, you know, compared to others.
Yeah, but I mean, Scott isn't exactly George Clooney either, Bryce.
I mean, love is in the eyes of the inmate. I mean, beholder. Love is in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah.
So that's Scott and Lindsay. Oh, and what did he say? Something about, then who cares? Okay, so then we're going to move on. Okay, you got anything else to say about Scott?
Yeah, can we, the interior decorator is asking, like, what do you want? And then he asked the interior decorator about, what are some really high energy colors?
Oh, yeah.
So what are some high energy colors? And she's like, well, you know, like red or yellow or green. And he said, that's what I want to paint the bedroom.
And you know what the designer's response to that was, Robert?
Yeah, she said, wait, so how old is she? And how old are you? And are you going to have Viagra on both sides of the bed?
Don't worry about me.
I was like, oh. He's like, all you other 50-year-old guys can eat your heart out.
You could be as jealous as you want.
Okay, Scott. But, I mean, listen, Scott's backing it up, you know? So, I ain't mad at Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we met Jessica and Maurice. Jessica is 33. She's a marketer, a marketing consultant. And Maurice is 26. He's doing 7 years in jail for first degree burglary. Mm-hmm. And Jessica is from, I think, like Nevada. And here's the thing that kind of like a little annoys me about the editing of Love After Lockup. So they take us to like Jessica's house and we meet her parents and they really try to portray Jessica as this like white picket fence. Jessica is, you know, Caucasian. Maurice is black. He like 6'4". He's tatted up. And they really try to like portray Jessica to be like this. Like, oh my God, so like my family's so amazing. But listen, like I can read through a lot of that. First of all, Jessica is one of them girls that like she got a type, and her type is black men. And I'll just say this: she likes to wear the Victoria's Secret jumpsuits that say like love, or like the Juicy Couture jumpsuits that say juicy on the butt. Yeah. So that's the type of girl that Jessica is. Although that's not who they're trying to like make her out
that?
To be.
How did you know
because
that?
Because I watched the prison photos, and in each of her prison photos, she had one of the jumpsuits. She had the Victoria's Secret jumpsuit on, and I said, okay. I know. And she's driving her mom's old red Impala with tinted windows on it. Mm-hmm. Like, girl, you ain't fooling me. You girl, she wants to be Lacey, but you're not. So Jessica's family is like not approving of her meeting Maurice. I think she was Maurice is the one that she met on plentyoffish.com. Mm-hmm. And I think they've been dating for about 2 years, and she even married him. Girl, mm-hmm. Now see, so this is where sometimes I'd be like, where is your self-esteem? Like, I just have to ask, because, okay, it's one thing if, like, you know, Rob and Nicole was together, and then Rob got arrested and went away for 7 years, and then Nicole married Rob after they had already knew each other. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing to meet on Plenty of Fish. Your only contact is supervised contact in jail, and then you marry him. Like, girl, like, where are your friends? And so, like, then, because of this, Jessica's family, her mom and dad seemed somewhat supportive, but Jessica's sister was like, what? Oh, no. You marry him? Yeah, I'm going to have to cut you out of my life. So she hasn't talked to her sister in 4 years due to her relationship with Maurice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dad seemed very disapproving about the whole thing. That in the conversation with Dad, he said, well, you never know after, like, every sentence. So it was like, well, you know, these guys, they go to jail, and you never know. She's like, oh, Dad, oh, come on.
Another thing her dad kept saying, know. Like, you know, yeah, you never know. And he was like, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to step in and do something. I don't think her dad saw what Maurice looked like, because I don't really think you're going to be doing nothing, yeah. Jessica Daddy.
That's right. That's why Jessica said that Maurice is a real man.
So, and here's another thing. Some of these couples, okay, and this is just in real life. I don't know, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being honest. Sometimes in, like, relationships, you see people and you be like, oh, okay. Can't really figure out why he's with her. Or, like, you know, or some people you be like, oh, he must have a great personality. Mm-hmm. Like in this relationship specifically, I'm like, Jessica, girl, You like, girl, like, not that, like, and I'm not judging anybody on anybody's looks, because listen, looks are in the eyes of the beholder.
Yes.
But when you look at, like, what Maurice looks like, and you look at what Jessica looks like, she's crazy to think that Maurice is not going, first of all, number one, he's on Plenty of Fish in jail.
Yeah.
Okay. Girl, what the hell you think he gonna be on when he get out of jail?
Mm-hmm.
And like, good I point. Like that I just like I always just wonder about those type of things, because it's like, girl, not that Jessica's not anything that looks like, not, but when Maurice ain't been outside of these prison walls in 7 years, when he gets outside and see like what some of these females look like, and or males,
yeah,
like, I'm just saying, like, girl, I don't know if that red Impala is gonna hold him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. They're an interesting couple to see.
Yeah.
And then we move on to what I have highlighted as one of the highlights of the episode. Yes. Was John and Christiana.
Yes.
Okay? Or Christiana. Now, also, I want to say that John, he is half Native American, half, he didn't really say what other the half he was, but he felt as though that he was full, that his blood was full Native American. John reminded me that he could possibly be a cousin to Christian Yubiki.
No. Wow, no.
just a little bit. And yeah, John is a whole mess and a half, okay?
He might be the freakiest freak of the whole show.
For sure. I don't even know where to start. So, Christiana's 35. She's in jail for burglary. John is 46, and he is a youth service professional.
you don't even have to talk about Christiana. We don't see her. Yeah. We don't hear from her. We know nothing about it. This is all about what is going on with John. And you said you don't know where to start. Wasn't he like taping up an eagle feather and then put it in the freezer? That was the introduction.
Yes. And then just, first of all, he was like, this is definitely an eagle. Then, not even a Ziploc bag, Rob. Just a regular plastic bag. Wrapped it up, put it in the freezer on top of some chicken wings and hot dogs.
Yeah, what's he going to do with it later?
I don't know. And I don't want to know.
His kitchen had a lot of problems.
Yes. Okay. First of all, but I guarantee you, I'm pretty sure John know how to make some bomb ass lemon pepper eagle wings. But okay. So here's another thing. Let's just get all the way into John. So I don't know. Growing up, you know, my family, you know, we lived in a hood. My grandmom lived in a hood, and my grandmom had one of these. Rest grandmom Clara's soul. I haven't seen one of these things since I've been to my grandmom's house in the summertime.
Yeah.
So, you ever been to your grandmom's house? Maybe they have them in the country, the hood, sometimes in the city. But sometimes, like, you know, if you got flies in your house and you can't get rid of them, you buy this tape that you just hang from the ceiling, and the flies tack onto it. Yeah. So, like, you know, that ain't nothing to me. But what I do know is that if me and Don Don was on Love After Lockup and I'm doing an interview in my goddamn kitchen and I'm having a camera crew in my house, the first thing I'm going to do is take down the fly tape that's covered.
It covered. This is so gross.
And flies. Okay. Yeah. So that just lets you know about John.
Right. And he's like working on his crock pot. The crock pot goes right underneath the fly catcher. How many flies do you think fell off in that crock pot?
So here's what I was thinking of. Maybe that's something that we don't know. Maybe the crock pot helps attract the flies to the tape. I don't know.
It's part of the trap.
Okay. It's part of the trap. The flies is like, ooh, what's in the crock pot?
Put the eagle wing in the crock pot. That makes the flies come over, and the tape gets the flies.
Okay. Then they asked John, have you been married before?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yes. So this is what I didn't understand, though. So he goes, yes, I was married 4 times, engaged twice. Bitch. If you was, like, huh? So, if you was married 4 times, shouldn't have you been engaged?
They skipped a step a couple times. They just got married.
I can't get nobody to text me back on a consistent basis, but John, okay, putting eagle wings in the freezer, fly tape above the crock pot, this MF-er can skip engagements.
Yes, yes. Well, Bryce, they asked him, how many kids do you have? The marriage thing was like that he was able to get to that. They asked him, he's like, oh, hold on, I got to think about it. How many kids
do I
have?
And had to count.
Yeah.
And then had to count more than once. There's Dominic. There's Alex. Wait, no. But because he's got to say them in order. He's like, there's Dominic, Sapphire, Rose. No. Sapphire, Rose, Dominic, Christian. This MF-er got 8 kids.
8 kids.
And then, okay, at this story, again, like I said, John is the gift that keeps on giving.
Bryce, I think that John might not believe in birth control. I feel like that fits in with the rest of his vibe that he's putting out.
Listen, so mind you, you're right. He may not believe in birth control, but I can guarantee you something that he does believe in. He definitely believes in Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, before we get into Santa Claus, he got 8 kids. 2 of the kids live with him, okay?
Yeah.
And the 2 kids that live with him don't even know that he's dating Christiana, who's getting ready to get out in a couple of weeks. And the plan is, allegedly, for her to live with him. So, his oldest daughter, Sapphire.
I loved her.
And in my opinion, probably the most well-adjusted person that we've seen on this show so far. Okay? She's 18 years old.
Other than Cousin Walter, but we haven't talked about him yet.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that you just said Cousin Walter with the jacket on. But listen, okay? Why he got that jacket on at that table? But listen, for real, I want the other cousin. But anyway, so back to Sapphire. The dad, first of all, discloses to Sapphire that he's dating Christiana and that she's in jail. And so why I say that Sapphire is a well-adjusted 18-year-old, because the first thing that she did was pull out her phone and say, "What's the whole name?" Okay? And she pulled her up and started to list down the 30 felonies that she had.
Yeah.
So then so the dad was just like, "Well, you know, people can change. You know, I believe people can change." And so then, you know, on Love at the Lockup, everybody get an interview. So the producers pulled Sapphire outside and did a little one-on-one interview with Sapphire. And Sapphire was spilling all the tea. Okay. Sapphire was
the bare root tea.
Yes. Sapphire. Oh, hold on. Oh, 10987654321. Y'all are not gonna believe the tea that Sapphire spilled, okay? So obviously, in my mind, the producers were like, they would have had to ask her something like, "Are you surprised that your dad is dating like somebody that's in jail?" Because Sapphire's response was that, like, "No, I'm not surprised that my dad is dating somebody in jail. He's always had questionable methods of dating people." Mm-hmm. And that one of his previous girlfriends, one of his previous girlfriends he got from putting a ad, what I would hope was on the community section of Craigslist.
Yeah.
That read, I don't know what it read, but he basically asked Santa Claus to bring him a girlfriend for Christmas.
That was his last girlfriend.
And that was his last girlfriend. Somebody responded to the ad, and I just am curious if it was like, "Ho, ho, ho." So, needless to say, that's Jonathan. Oh. And then Jonathan was spilling tea on himself. Mm-hmm. First of all, Jonathan, I'm calling him John. Well, his name is John, but baby, on a Purple Pants podcast, he got to be a Jonathan.
Okay.
Jonathan then reveals to us that 10 years ago, this MFA was in jail for 12 years for writing bad checks and forgery.
Mm-hmm.
So, John just a mess in half.
Yeah.
Okay. But the type of mess that I like.
Yeah. Well, you didn't even mention that he was like a DMX. So he's going to pimp his ride out to go pick up Christiana from the airport. And he was going to turn his pickup truck into a wedding chapel / honeymoon suite, where he was going to get married on the steps of the truck and then have a mattress in the back.
But this is what I'm saying. It's not a trailer. It's a pickup truck. So you just going to have
not an RV,
a mattress.
Right.
You just going to have a mattress on the back of your truck. I mean, talk about freak of the week. And then get this. Okay. And then he was like, it has to be 30 minutes because I've got to drive her to our halfway house, which is 3 hours away. Where is the mattress going to go? Okay.
I think he was going in the bed of the back of the pickup truck.
How's it going to stay down?
I don't know. It's going to
work. Then he called his brother over, who his brother thought he was crazy, to build steps so that they could walk up to the chapel.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, is this a Beef Unlimited steps? Like, because I was like, okay.
Yeah.
He didn't got steps. Wendell to build these steps.
The steps did come together pretty good.
I was like, oh, that is nice. Wendell, you need to be making steps.
Can Wendell convert somebody's pickup truck into a wedding chapel?
I got to confirm. I can't confirm. I sent the text message. He did not confirm or deny. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to get back to you.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next, we've got, I can't even say his name right. Quayloin and Chevelle.
Yes.
Now, Quay, we just going to call him Quay. We're going to call him Quay Quay.
I think he's Quaylon.
Quaylon. What I say? Quayloin? A pork loin? A tenderloin?
Quay is probably safer.
Quay. Okay, but here's the one thing. First of all, out of all of these people, Quay could have got it a little bit. What I loved about Quay was the only one that we got an in-person interview. So we got to see Quay. We got to see and, you know, be around him. You know, Quay about 6'4", 6'5", little dreadlocks, chiseled up. Chevelle is, you know, a single mom of five. And she met Quay.
No, she has one kid who's five.
A single mom of a five-year-old. Sorry. Yeah. Get me together, Robert.
Yeah.
I was just imagining Quay. Got a little in mind entanglement. So Chevelle is 31. She's a business owner. We don't know what her business is, but here's another thing that why I can say that I feel like Chevelle is probably of all of the people, she's probably one of the more well-adjusted people, and I say that because her house was clean and her bedroom was clean.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta pay attention to these people's bedrooms because like it just tells a lot about these people on these shows. Her house, color coordinated, cute. Like I felt like I could sleep at Chevelle's house.
But did she live with the mom?
No, it looked like the mom was visiting her.
Okay.
And the mom was another person. So why does she have on gold lipstick? I was kind of confused at her mom. Like trying to like, you know, so the mom was one of the people that was like, you know, I don't know, Chevelle should be doing this. You know, I'm protective of my baby. And I wanted to like take her so serious. But girl, the mom can't be that well adjusted if you got gold, like not even like a gold lipstick. It's like a highlighter. Just like somebody took a gold highlighter and just highlighted the top and the bottom of her mom. That's what I couldn't stop
hearing. I like the mom. I thought she was good. She had a good salad going on.
Yes, yes. So Chevelle met Quay through a friend who her boyfriend was in jail. And her boyfriend was like my homeboy looking for somebody. Right. Yes, you know, little. So it's like a blind date. So she met him. They liked each other. They kept in contact. And, you know, I would also say that Quay might be a contender for the Freak of the Week because up until Chevelle never participated in phone sex before.
Yeah.
And so Quay opened that up to her, which is another red flag for me is that, like, Chevelle girl. Now, another thing. Now, I'm not saying Chevelle's not an attractive woman.
Yeah, but hold on. We're going to just skip over the rest of the phone sex.
Oh, You tell the story.
I don't get to respond to the phone sex.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
Please. How often do I get to talk about phone sex on that as a podcast? Well, I don't know that she talked about how, you know, she never did that before, and Quay was going to talk her through that, but then she said something that was bleeped, and then I have no idea what she said.
She said that he said, put your finger in it. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
then,
what he said.
And she said, why do I have to do that? And then it's like, beep.
So that brings me to what I was saying. That Quay been in jail for 7 years. Chevelle ain't his only love. I'm sorry, love.
Oh,
I hate to break it to you, Chevelle. I'm just saying, like, that right there just lets me know, like,
he knows what he's doing, you're saying. You're saying
he know
that
what
17-year-old Quay didn't go in knowing how to already have the phone sex.
Yes, okay. He might be having actual sex in jail. You never, listen, I'm trying to tell you, stranger things happen. So, but I just, when I actually physically look at Chevelle and Quay, Quay is a nice looking young man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chevelle, not that she's not nice looking, but I had a hard time like with her wigs. I can't take people's wigs that like, that just meet with they like forehead. Like, you know, just, it just like, it just, it was no transition. It was like forehead, wig. But Chevelle does, she seems nice, and I like her, and I don't want her to get hurt. And she has got a 5-year-old, and she had this dinner, which was like very interesting, where she brought her family together,
yeah,
and she brought in Cousin Walter that Robert was talking about earlier.
Cousin Walter.
And Cousin Walter had like had a jacket on at dinner. Like, I was kind of confused. Like, what? It was like zipped up.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get over Cousin Walter. Then it was another cousin. I don't know what
I think
that
was her brother, D-Mark.
Listen, if that was her brother, D-Mar, what up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought that maybe that Cousin Walter was like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm uncomfortable with this camera crew. I'm going to get out of here at any second. I'm going
to
take my
jacket. You guys just said this was Sunday dinner. I'm confused as to why these guys are here. I'm not going to get comfortable.
Yeah. And the brother said that he says, hey, I got to meet this guy. He says, you're guilty until I proclaim you innocent.
Listen, the brother don't ever have to proclaim me innocent. Okay, read me my rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just again, so there's models. Every season, there's always somebody with a crazy mom. And so we got to see that a little bit because Chevelle was getting ready to leave to go, you know, probably have sex with Quay for the first time.
Yes.
Getting out, getting a hotel. And Quay, in his confessional, because he actually got a confessional because we actually got to see him, he was saying that how she lives in, where does she live?
Bowling Green.
Yes, and he lives in Texas, and his mom lives in Texas, and that he basically told Chevelle that he would come live with her, which, again, my social worker hat goes off immediately. Like, I understand you fall in love with these men, and you, like, whatever, but baby girl, you've got a 5-year-old. You, like, he needs to come home first, and y'all need to build a relationship outside of him being in jail before you invite him into your house.
Oh.
That's social work, Bryce, because, like, you, like that. That's problematic. Like, just for, like, that, just so problematic. Not to say that he's anything, but girl, you gotta be a mother first before you are like, and you just can't bring some random guy that you haven't spent 2 seconds with outside of a supervised visit in jail to your home. Like, that's, again, another reason why I liking these shows is I like to just be a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to, like, nope. Because, like, this happens in real life. Like, I've had this scenario a lot of times. And, yeah, like, sorry, he got to find somewhere else to live. He can't live with you. But I thought that was just so interesting that she was so willing to have him come to her home. But he also has a mama who he's described as controlling and, you know, she likes it her way, who lives in Texas, and she wants Quay to live with her. Why? I know that Chevelle and Quay will not work out because I just for a multitude of reasons, although I hope that they do. But say if Robert, you my pen pal, and, you know, I'm writing you, I'm coming to get you, and we've been talking for all of these times. Why in the hell on the last conversation that we have on the phone before I come get you gonna tell me to stop? To pick your mama up on the way to come get you. First of all, I got plans to be the freak of the week.
Yeah.
Okay? Your mama can't come. Like, so that to me already, like, shows me that Quay is not truthful. See, I pick up on little stuff like this because I, like, you know, this is what I do. So that already goes to show me that he is not truthful and that he is manipulative because, like, I am, and listen, and Chevelle's dumb because I'll be like, okay. Yeah. And I would drive right the hell past Texas, okay?
Yeah, well, this is not the first time that she's potentially been taken advantage of, Bryce.
Listen, Robert, okay? When she was 15 years old, okay? Apparently, she had that heat and that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is another reason for concern as to why I don't feel like Chevelle should bring Quay into the house with her 5-year-old. Or so when Chevelle, or you tell it, Robert, because I've just been talking. Go ahead.
Yes, she was a 15-year-old rapper, and then they were talking to some guy in New York, and he was like, "Hey, give me $15,000, and I'll go ahead." I wonder if that guy was actually Scott. That's how he made all his money in business. That he had people just send him $15,000. A big Ponzi scheme. And then and I guess it got like written up in the New York Times. There was like a news article. And yeah, the mom did not forget that happened. Mom did not forget that happened because she's like, hey, you know, Chevelle, remember that other time that you said that there was going to be a thing and we should just pay that money and we still We just got over
again,
that.
Again, any aspiring rappers, any aspiring models, listen, okay? Any people aspiring to be on TV, you don't pay nobody no money, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that should be red flag number one. And if the amount is $15,000, with $15,000, you could launch your own career, Chevelle.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
I mean, needless
she needed
to say,
to run into Iberios.
Yes, okay? She could have gave yes, to Iberios. He could have made her a star.
Does she want a podcast?
I mean,
$15,000 get her set right up.
Oh, Robert, don't be telling them the amount I had to pay to get a podcast. Okay,
get her and Quay. Yeah, I hear Quay. He's really good on the microphone. Gets people real hooked. He's a star.
Okay. Listen, I can't even. So, that's Chevelle and Quay. And obviously, that's the crazy mom story. So, I'll be interested to see how that works out. And then, we've got the next people who I have put a star next to their name. Because I think that they will be the star. And another highlight of this season, we've got Destiny and Sean. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone that has watched Love After Lockup before, I say that Destiny and Sean will be the Clint and Tracy of this season.
Whoa.
Because it's a mess. So where do we start? Like Sean is 45 and his title is a general manager, but he obviously works in an auto body shop. So I don't know if he's the general manager of that auto body shop. Destiny is a 28-year-old female. She is currently in jail for escaping, stolen property, and possession of drugs. They've been talking for about 9 months. And Sean is all about showing his friends that he works with these photos of Destiny. And they're like, oh, man, she's so hot. She's so hot. I love that. Yeah, I could see why you're talking to her. And Sean's like, yeah, I'm so lucky. But then Sean reveals to us that he has never met Destiny in person. Mm-hmm. Because, like, so obviously we know all of these other people that we've talked about before, they've gone up, they've had visits, they've seen photos. So he has never gotten an opportunity to meet Destiny because she is insecure about the recent weight that she has gained and does not want Sean to see her.
Mm-hmm. That's a red flag.
Baby boy. Yes.
What color is that flag?
Yes. Okay. That flag is purple at this point because what?
It's a purple flag podcast.
Robert, okay, you. I'm not doing this with you, Robert. So, yes, it's a purple flag type of thing that I'm concerned about. So, Sean.
Yeah.
He has never been married before. He's had a couple of serious relationships. His last serious relationship, gave him 6 children. I mean, I don't know if I would call that a serious relationship or a marriage or a partnership, but his last relationship gave him 6 children.
Yeah.
But
that was a big surprise.
Yeah, yes. She was not the love of his life.
No.
And
Destiny
that he is sure that Destiny is the love of his life. Now, what I find so interesting is that the first time that there is no interview with Destiny. The only time that we get to hear from Destiny is that when Destiny calls.
Yeah.
And that Sean gets to talk to her. So Sean is like talking to his buddies at work, like, oh, my girl's so hot. And like one of his friends, like, you sure she's not a catfish? And he's like, she wouldn't catfish me. I know her.
Okay. Yeah. Why would she catfish me?
Right.
I just given her $35,000. It doesn't even make any sense.
Okay. So then she calls. He picks up. He's like, hey, baby. And the first words that we get to hear of Destiny is that, I called you 5 times. Why didn't you pick up the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I think that would drive me crazy if I was in jail and I was calling somebody over and over again.
I mean, you in jail, Robert. Deal with it. Like, I mean, like, obviously, it's very clear that Sean is her... I don't know what you want to say. Like, she is her, like, when she calls, he's supposed to drop everything. Yeah. So she reveals to Sean that she might be getting out earlier than she actually thought.
That's good.
And Sean's like, oh, that's excited, baby. But she's like, but you got to go to a bail bondsman and put some money down because, you know, I got these other charges. So when I get out of this jail sentence, I still got another court date. In order for me to get out, you got to pay these bails. And I believe the term she said was, it's like putting a down payment on our relationship.
Yeah. Well, when you put it that way.
And Sean's like, and mind you, this was the funniest part of the whole episode for me, right? So when Sean's in the auto body shop talking with his friends, talking about Destiny, so excited. And then when Destiny calls, you know, he puts it on speakerphone. Mistake number one. When Destiny first picks up and she's screaming at him, like, his one friend kind of looks up. And this is also the friend that got a confessional and was like, he's going to die. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he's going to die. What was the funniest thing for me was that when, like, Destiny was explaining that he needed to go pay this money, like, you can literally see Sean turning the volume down on the phone. Like, huh? Wait, like, because he ain't want nobody else to hear this. So... and true love after lockup form, Sean goes to a bail bondsman. Now, yes. Okay, this is another crazy thing. Bail bondsmen want your money. Okay? They don't care the situation. They don't care who in jail. They want your money. This is another purple flag for me. That when you go to the bail bondsman.
Yeah.
And he acts like, oh, okay, so who you bailing out? My girlfriend. Okay, he's like, you know, you met her before you went in? No, I met her while I was in here. The bail bondsman looked and said, huh? You never met her? He's like, no, I never met her before. And the bail bondsman's like, I mean, to the point that the bail bondsman had a confessional. Okay. Mm-hmm. The bail bondsman's confessional was, I mean, in my line of work, you know, I hate to say that people just, like, you know, use people, but, you know, that's what happens. And so the bail bondsman is giving Sean advice to be like, maybe you want to think about this. Her bond is $50,000. You can put this $5,000 down. But if she does not show up to court, you will be liable for $50,000.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Destiny is facing this charge that she has. Mm-hmm. Guess what it's for, Robert? Mm-hmm. I mean, guess what it's for? It's for her escaping. Mm-hmm. Okay? She was on an ankle monitor, mm-hmm. and she cut the ankle monitor off.
Yeah.
And you ain't never seen her before. And you about to pay $5,000 for this $50,000 bond that you could be liable for after the $35,000 that you've already spent on her on commissary money and phone calls.
You also had to take the money out of his 401k, which...
The 401!
I don't know. I'm not an investment planner or anything like that. I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to take that out to give
him penalties on that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, but you know, I mean, I could understand you doing that, Robert. If something happens to Nicole and she got, you know, your wife that you live with, that you've met, that has your children.
Well, we could be pen pals for a little bit. We could try that.
But you going to pay that $5,000 on a Nicole that you ain't never met or seen? And all you see are these photos that have Snapchat filters on them?
Yeah.
Baby boy.
It's not good. Sean also implied that he has a secret that he hasn't told Destiny, but we never found out what that was.
Yes, and Love at the Lockup loves to do that. They love these cliffhangers, yes. So I am, if I had to bet, it would probably be that he's been entangled in these type of relationships before, or that he still lives with that woman that has his 6 children.
Yeah.
That's what I'm banking for. But I don't know.
Yeah. Could be any of those things.
Could be any of those things. So, I mean, so those are the 5 people that we've met so far. They sound like real winners.
You better hope the secret isn't that he has no more money. Oh my God, that could be a deal breaker.
That's definitely, there's no down payment of love.
Yeah.
I And there are at least, I feel like, two other people that we've not met, and I can't wait to meet them because they just look right up my alleyway. But So what did you think? Like, what was your take? Did you enjoy Love After Lockup?
I loved it. It was really, really fun. I mean, I like 90 Day Fiancé also, that I love seeing all these messy situations that I think that I would be a great, like, disapproving friend for any of these people. And I would love to be that person for anybody. And I love it. And I just, the problem is that I don't have WE TV. Like, they had this episode on the website. I got to figure out a way to watch it.
Okay. Listen, Robert, I told you I'd give you my little login. You could watch it.
Yeah. But I loved it. I love all of this trash reality TV.
So you are saying that if I were to ever be on Love After Lockup, you would be, I could count on you as a disapproving friend for a confession.
Yes, yes. If you said to me that, hey, Robert, I need to talk to you. And then tell me, like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, go. I met somebody and he's awesome, and we're getting married. Like, Bryce, come on. What about Don? Don't you remember last time?
Listen, Rob, I mean, this time is different. Wendell built me steps. Okay, so I'm excited to go and pick him up. So it's a mess. I love it. I'm so glad that it's back on. And then what I love about, you know, this franchise, which very similarly to 90 Day Fiancé, you know, they have Love After Lockup. Yeah. So a lot of the stars from this show will be on the next season that follows them after, like, what life is like. So I just love it. And, you know, I tend to, the people that watch the show, sometimes they listen to the podcast. I don't know who's going to be my Lacey of this season, but I've got my eye out. I'm excited. I'm more excited to talk to you, Robert. You know, I'm so glad you came on this podcast. I was nervous about this, but obviously, like, you know, the podcast is just going to be about Love at the Lockup, baby. So listen, like it or not.
I was so happy that you reached out to me that it's an honor to be here with you, and I got to talk about Love After Lockup. I just have one more question. I probably went on too long with talking about this, Bryce, but the people on Love After Lockup, do they become like big social media influencers? Like, is it very profitable for them? Not so much to get paid on the show, but do they make money on the Insta?
I mean, hard to tell.
Cameo.
So they are on Cameo. They are on Insta. So my only real barometer for the Love After Lockup stars is Angela.
Bryce.
And Lacey. So they definitely get a lot of followers. Lacey does have an OnlyFans where she does make exclusive content for her and Shane. So that Lacey has utilized that to boost her career. Angela does have a lot of followers, and Angela seems to be a pioneer for, like, connecting people on her Instagram. She's always like posting random people get her address, but Angela does live in a trailer and they have shown the address, so that's probably why. She is a proprietor of, like, this random guy sent me a letter, if anybody is looking for a pen pal, write him. So Angela does a lot of those on her story. So I mean, they get a lot of followers. You know, I only follow the ones that I like. I mean, I don't know, but Lacey and Shane seem to be doing really well, so I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Well, this is amazing.
I don't want to be breaking no tea, but Lacey and Shane, obviously from Love After Lockup, my favorite people. I think Lacey might be pregnant, allegedly.
What?
Because the last couple of photos that she's been posting on the Insta, like, she don't show her stomach. And then in one of the photos that she showed her stomach, like, it looks like she's with child. But obviously, she probably won't want to say anything because they just confirmed that they're doing another season. So, I mean, I don't know. But listen, just know the Purple Pants reported it first, allegedly.
Okay.
Yes.
I got to look that up.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. It's been so much fun. I'm so always glad to have you. So glad to be a part of the RHAP family. And can you believe that in a couple weeks, this podcast will turn a year?
Yes. Yeah, I can't believe it. It's what a year. Bryce, I'm so proud of everything that you've done to grow the podcast. And you've become such an incredible podcaster. And you've built such a great audience with the Purple Pants podcast. So hopefully many more years of continued success.
Yes. yes. Many more purple flags, baby, is what I'm hoping for. But all right. Thank you, Robert. It's been a blast.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
Yes, and we are at Freak of the Week of this week's episode. Now, mind you, you know I love Freak of the Week because it is just, I get to scroll through the Instagram and see who pops out at me. Now, the person that pops out this week, I think, has been a Freak of the Week before. So, listen, I'm just scrolling through the Instagram Saturday night, minding my business, and I come across this post, and it reads, let go. Let go of who they ask you to be. Rise from the ashes of your old self. They'll ask you to be like them and shun you if you don't. Set them and their experiences free. Liberation comes when you lose their map. Their compass will not guide your quest. Speak to the drum in your chest, the web of energetic cords in your spine. Let go of yesterday and let the new day begin. This is my animal. It's not for you, nor do I need your acceptance or validation. Love me or leave me. This is your choice. But my smile wells from within. And if I need nothing more than me for this, you be you and I'll be me. And maybe we'll meet somewhere in between. A day late, but happy National Naked Day. Now, wait a minute. I didn't even know there was a National Naked Day. But listen, baby, Ken Cole, okay, is underneath a rock, naked, looking like he from Planet of the Apes. Got this pose on. I said, now, wait a minute, Ken. What you doing over there, baby boy? Of course, after reading the message that he wrote, which essentially is saying, be you, regardless of what anyone else thinks, and that's, I feel like, what I preach here on the Purple Pants Podcast. I had to give Freak of the Week to our baby boy, Ken Cole. Make sure you go to his Instagram, the Ken Cole, find that naked photo, and let him know he is the Freak of the Week, baby! And that means if we've announced the Freak of the Week, it means we've come to the end of another great podcast. I'm so excited, so grateful that Rob joined me on this podcast. I thought it was hilarious and just something lighthearted that we can just, you know, just watch and have a great time. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, make sure you subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Write a review. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. And listen, next week, I'll be back. You know,
it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.